We've been going through the book of 1 John here. We're down to chapter 4. And this is one of my favorite books of Scripture written by John, the apostle that Jesus loveth. That's not saying he loved one more than another. The text today is about love. And God loves His people in perfect love. Not one is loved above another. Not one is loved less than another. The love of God is amazing. We sing the song Amazing Grace as we stand and think about the love of God. It is overwhelming when we're blessed to see it. Last week we spoke about try the spirits of Antichrist that were in the world and are today. And if we go back to chapter 1 and we come forward to today, we understand that everything that John is teaching us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And make that plain, because what John is penning and what John is saying is not just John's opinion. It's given by the Holy Spirit of God. It is exactly what God says, how God speaks to us, what we are blessed to hear, know, and understand. And that is the love of God. The most important thing that we have is love. That is God. God is love. Let's begin the text. In verse 7, leaving the teaching of the Antichrist, because anything that denies that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God and that He has saved His people from their sins, anything other than that is Antichrist. We mentioned last week and have several times, this goes all the way back to Genesis 3 when Satan changed one word that God had told Adam and Eve, told them the day they ate thereof they would surely die. Satan added one word, thou shalt not surely die. And then he gave us the teaching of Antichrist at that time that the day that thou shalt be as gods. When you eat this fruit, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Any doctrine that gives glory to man is not of God, it's Antichrist. God is love. Satan attacks our love. Satan attacks churches. Satan attacks families. The two greatest things we love the most is what Satan attacks. But God has given us love, and that love is here for us, and we are to love one another. Now, he begins in verse 7, beloved, speaking to the children of God. We touched on this last week. Going to start there today. Beloved, everyone born of the Spirit of God, a child of God who is not yet born of the Spirit, does not yet have possession of eternal life, although he's guaranteed it, does not yet know the love of God, because God hath not yet revealed it to him. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit of God. Therefore, we must have the Spirit of God, which is God in us, Christ in us, to have love. Beloved, let us, the church, God's children, doesn't matter which flavor of religion, let us, all of God's children. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the entirety of the church. Beloved, let us love one another. The purpose of God from the beginning was that we should love one another. We see that even after Adam fell and sin entered the world, the first sign of violence and hatred in Genesis chapter 4 of Cain killing Abel, God had purposed for us to love each other. We fell in Adam and are not able to love one another. The natural man has the ability to love himself and himself only. If I see a man that loves his wife and family, an institution of God and the first he created, then I know God is in that man. If I see a man that loves the church and the brotherhood, then I know that God is in that man. And this text today, by the Holy Spirit, will prove that. So, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I love things that I used to not love. I hate things that I used to love. The natural man loves the world, the pride of life, the things mentioned earlier in this book. The natural man loves rebellion against God and goodness and righteousness. The Spirit of God within a man gives us the love of God planted within us and causes us to love God and love each other. He's talking not about loving the world, but about loving God and therefore the things of God. And everyone that loveth the things of God, he says in here, love the brotherhood. Love your family. We're taught these things in Scripture. The things that God gave us, His creation, His establishment, His purpose, we love. We love them because God placed that love within us. Everyone that loveth is born of God, period, cut and dry. A dead man cannot love. Ephesians 2 tells us we were dead in trespass and sins. We had not the ability to love. This is all of grace. It's all in the love of God. And I'm going to tell you, Christ Jesus is the love of God manifested to us. And he says that, he that loveth not knoweth not God. You see things in this world, you see things in this nation right now, which manifest to us, makes us to be able to see, to make it plainly known, that the people doing these wicked things, such as burning down buildings, destroying people's livelihoods, those of Islam that kill God's children that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, two very quick examples. It's very evident, and there's a long list, but it's very evident that these people have not the love of God in them. Now, last week I mentioned the Apostle Paul. One prior to Acts 9 would say that Paul was hell-bound. He was persecuting the church. He was committing men and women to prison, compelling them to blaspheme against the God of glory. But then God struck him down. He was born again by the hand of God, went from hating God's people and the Lord Jesus Christ to love and serve God and them. That's how we manifest ourselves as God's children, by loving and serving one another. The greatest apostle to the Gentiles. But he that loveth not knoweth not God. There are those that will pass through this world that know not God and never will know God because it's not given them to love God. It did not please God to love them. Somebody said, that's not fair. My question is this. I can see why God hates mankind and sin, but why in the world would God love anybody? Why would God love us while we're dead in trespass and sin, our very nature against Him? That's called grace, brethren. It's called the election of grace. Israel had not obtained that he seeketh, for the election hath obtained it. Romans 11. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And a child of God, not yet born of the Spirit, does not know God. But mark this down and take it to the bank. Because when he is born of God, God will put love in him, and he will love God. He may rebel against it in this flesh, but he will deep down inside love God and know God. And every child of God, the Father gave to the Son, will be born of the Spirit at some point between conception and death. God is love and has a love that we cannot begin to understand in these mortal bodies in which we dwell. The spirit and the flesh battling all the time. Satan comes at us. Satan seeks to destroy us. He seeks to destroy the church, the family, the nation, the government, every institution of God. Satan seeks to destroy. And we're in flesh. We have to walk in this love to defeat this. That's why John tells us over and over and over again, love your brother. Not the Adamic world. Love your brother as yourself. There are two loves mentioned here. One is agape love. That's a brotherly love. That's union in Christ. Children born of the Spirit of God. Children adopted into the family of God. And then there's a love which we should have to all men. It's when he's hungry, feed him. When he's thirsty, give him drink. When he's naked, clothe him. We do that even to prisoners in the jailhouse who've committed heinous crimes because it's the right thing to do. He said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this, the knowledge of God, the love of God, knowing that we love God, in God's love, in this was," past tense, "manifested the love of God toward us." Now let's go back to John chapter 1. We know God and we see God by faith. We don't see Him with our eyes. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the evidence of things not seen. What a man seeth, why does he yet wait for it? Because of the hope, the earnest expectation God has placed in us, in His love. These men, the apostles, and this day which was closing, the first century church, the days of the apostles, saw Him, John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life, capital W, the living Word of God, second person of the Godhead. We saw Him. We heard Him. We saw Him heal the sick. We saw Him give sight to the blind. We saw Him give hearing to the deaf. We saw Him raise the dead. We saw Him in all the miracles that He did, manifesting God to us. We saw Him lower Himself down to the hand of death. We saw Him nailed to the cross. I look up and see Him in my heart. These men saw Him with their eyes, beaten, spit upon, scourged. This is the God of glory. They saw Him lay down His life. They saw Him raised up again. They took Him from the cross. Their hands handled Him. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. We went through the first 12 chapters of Genesis recently. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There is Christ. There is the living Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. Everything we have is in the power and the wisdom of God. Everything we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were dead in sin, rebellion to God, and had nothing. We were morally bankrupt. And grace came. How did it come? Grace and truth by Jesus Christ. In this, the crucifixion, the death, burial, resurrection. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. In this we see the God of glory. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again to bring it to mind in mortal terms. The third night out of the academy in 1983, pulled up to West Jefferson Prison. The lights were out, and it was a riot inside. You could not lock them down because the prison was not finished. They were in dormitories, and they were doing ungodly things, hurting each other. We came in, and we stopped that by the grace of God. People ask me, "Let them have each other. Why did y'all help them? Why did y'all go in?" Because it's the right thing to do. But now let's portray this and show that picture pointing to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is above sin, without sin, the express image of God, the brightness of His glory, the Word by which the worlds were framed, cannot look upon sin, laid the glory of the Godhead aside. Had He come in God's glory, we'd have been consumed. Was born in the body of a man without any sin inherited or committed or omitted. walked 33 and a half years upon the face of this earth, gave us the church, gave us the ministry, what precious gifts, gave us fellowship and brotherhood, what precious gifts. Chuck mentioned earlier, man, it's so good to be here and be away from this crazy world, isn't it? Here we dwell with God and we dwell with each other. This is our kingdom. This is where our peace comes from. And this very God lowered Himself down to the body of man, suffered, bled, and died upon the cross of Calvary to cleanse us from our sins. This is a love that has no beginning. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. You take a blackboard and a piece of chalk, you make a circle, a dot, and you draw it all the way to the right side and run it off the chalkboard. It doesn't end. It keeps going. That is everlasting. We have everlasting life because we're not eternal. Our life had a point. It had a beginning. We're creatures. We're created. God gave us life, making us new creatures. Our life runs off the blackboard with the chalk. It will never end. You want to see God? You want to see the love of God? Well, you take from that circle and draw all the way to the right and go off the board, and you go all the way to the left and run off the board. God has no beginning. God has no end. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is eternal, the only eternal creature. I say that to make this point. When did God decide to love you? God did not decide to love you. God has always, in eternity, loved you. There has never been a time when God did not love His people. There has never been a time when the Son and the Father were not coveted in love. Prove to me, somebody says, where's this covenant you're talking about? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as He, the Father, hath chosen us in Him, Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world in eternity, that we should be holy and blameless without Him, before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of sons in Jesus Christ through His good pleasure, it says. God has always loved His people. And let me just go in a little farther with this, because God is love. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We get into chapter 5, we're going to talk about the Godhead, a beautiful, beautiful revelation, manifestation. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. These are three separate beings, yet one God, detailed in Scripture. They have a love of each other that we cannot begin to comprehend. I'll give it to you this way. If my daddy, because Christ is the Son, needed help and was about to die, I'd go try to save him. With my hard head, I would probably charge in and fight. But listen, and that's in love from God. But listen to Christ. He did not fight that battle. He did not hesitate. The perfect love of God between the Godhead, the Father sent the Son had died, and walked willingly as a lamb before her shears is dumb to the slaughter. He willingly came here. He willingly laid down His life. The Godhead has a perfect love, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father created. The Father gave life. Christ is the Word by which He was by which all things were created. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was love, God. And the Word was God. Was with God and was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And that living Word became flesh, was made flesh, pardon me, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which brings us, as we live in this world, into remembrance of Christ, and teaches us of the Scripture, and bestows the love of God and fellowship on our heart. In this, the crucifixion was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son, born of the woman, into the world, that we might live through Him. John 10, the Lord said, I am come that they may have life and life abundant. When God turns us from death to life, we have life, and we have life abundant in this world because we know God in Christ. We see our Savior by faith. But you mark this down and you take it to the bank. Because when we leave this world and we are with God in heaven, I'm talking about the body in the ground, don't you dare mourn. My cousin died 2 days ago. I hadn't seen him in 40 years. He had a hard, rough life. But I tell you what, I rejoice. I rejoice. They told me he was about to die. I said, Lord, give him grace. Give him grace to live or give him grace to die. Just give him grace. Because death is the beginning of life. This soul leaves this sin-cursed earth and dwells with Christ above, period. There's a life abundant. And on the day of the resurrection, there will most certainly be life to the dead body and life abundant, because both joined together again will stand with Christ in eternity. And as we've already covered in chapter 3, we shall see Him, the Son of Glory, as He is. Because God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. We had absolutely nothing to do with it. It is all the purpose of God in the election of grace. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We were dead in Adam's nature. But that He loved us. When did He start? He didn't start. It's always been. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He is the covering for our sins. His blood covers our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Every sacrifice given in the law service that the Jewish people would conduct and carry out as God instructed did not save one single soul. There, though it was the blood of animals, my blood cannot save you. If I die, I am dead. My blood is spilled upon the ground, as was Abel's. The blood of Christ redeemed us. The perfect man, the God man, He is called, all man, all God. His blood covers our sin. Why? I've heard it said. Did God not just bring us to Himself because we were sinners? God cannot look upon sin. We had to be cleansed. We had to be redeemed. We had to be made atonement for. We had to be made perfect in His sight. I am far from perfect. I am a vile sinner by my very nature that I fight daily. The things that go through my mind make me sick to my stomach sometimes. All this mess going on. All the hatred in the world. And I get caught up in it and have to stop and pray, Lord, help me. Help me. Touch me with Thy love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us when we were yet in rebellion to God and sent His Son, the living Word of God, the eternal Son of God, to be the covering for our sins. That's manifested. That's known. In the days of the apostles, those men saw Him nailed to the cross, buried, and raised up. They saw Him walk upon the face of the earth. They saw Him ascend back to the right hand of the Majesty on high. We see Him. We understand this by faith because the love of God is within our hearts. Because God placed it there. When did you begin to love your mother? When did you begin to love your father? When you realized they were your mother and your father. When do we, beloved, begin to love God? When God reveals to us that He is our God, our Lord, our Master, and our Savior, and our life. This is manifested to us by the Spirit of God and by the preaching of the gospel. For the gospel reveals the Word of God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the covering for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Why is He saying that yet again? Yet again. Yet again. Remember the text? Remember where we began? John's the last apostle. This is after the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem destroyed 70 AD and shortly thereafter. This is about 90 AD. John's about to die. There are no more apostles. Those who saw him are going to be gone. There were antichrists in the world. Satan's work, deceiving God's children, seeking to take their joy, their life. Why? Because he knows that he hath but a short time, and God will cast him into the lake of fire. Beloved, if God so loved us, we as God's children ought also to love one another. And this is speaking of agape love, brotherly love, communion in Christ. No man has seen God at any time. John 1:18, I believe, tells us that no man has seen God at any time but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. He plants faith within us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We've never seen God. God is the invisible God. God cannot be seen. Christ manifests God. Even before He was born of Mary, He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He stood before Joshua, said, "I'm the captain of the Lord's host." He appeared to Abraham, Genesis 18, in the heat of the day. He sat in his tent. God was manifested Himself in the pre-incarnate Son of God. This text dealing with the born child of God, incarnate. But no, he says, no man has seen God at any time. That's speaking of physically seeing the Father. This text in John 4 and 12, no man has seen God at any time. What's he saying? No man has seen the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God did not ask you. God did not take counsel from angels or Satan or you. God did not ask you anything. We had no idea of that. It was manifested in Ephesians 3, the great mystery kept secret from the foundation of the world, that God had a people among the Gentiles, elect from before the foundation of the world. We didn't see God. He didn't ask us. We didn't have anything to do with it. It's all the purpose of God in the election of grace. No man has seen God. God didn't ask us anything. God does not learn anything. God does not forget anything. People say it was God's plan. I'm going to tell you, I like to say it this way. It was God's purpose. Our God is a God of purpose. There will be a people that God loves in eternal glory, free from sin and death, living body, spirit, and soul, without sickness, without death, without sin, without hatred, without sorrow, in perfect bliss, that will see the Son of God as He is in the fullness of His glory and dwell with Him forever. No man has seen God at any time. We had no idea of that and can't fathom it now while we live in this body of flesh. If we love one another, this is a statement. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Why is he making this plain, clear statement? There were so many things being taught. Remember, one of the teachings was that Christ was not the Son of God, just a man. You still hear that today. One of the teachings was that God was in the man Jesus Christ, but before he was crucified, God removed himself from him. That is a lie. That's a heresy. Christ is all man, all God. He was, he is, he will be tomorrow. That does not change. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. If you love your brother, God dwells in you. That is gospel. That is good news. If you love, somebody says, well, my brother never joined the church. My brother never went to church. My brother never did this, that, and the other. I'm going to tell you what, church has a purpose. But there are more, far, far, far more people that will die and be in heaven in immortal glory in the election of grace who have never heard the gospel by their ear, who stand in dark countries throughout time. God has a people from every tongue. Consider that. Tongues that are no longer spoken. And God had a people among them. God does not need anything, and He certainly does not need us to give life. If you have love in you, God is in you, for God is love. Period. Cut, dried, plain, simple. Believe it. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love, now catch this, is perfected in us. The love of God is perfect. The love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is perfect. It cannot be taken away from. It cannot faint. It cannot grow. It is massive, intense, powerful, terrible, great, amazing. What feeble mortal words can we use to describe it? We are unable. God's love for us is perfected in the same manner. We had nothing to do with it. It's all of God, and it's always present. It always has been. It always will be. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's in love. When we're obedient, He loves us. When we're disobedient, He loves us. When we're conceived, He loves us. When we live, He loves us. And when we die, He loves us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Period. So how is His love perfected in us? John's going to tell us. As we walk in God's perfect love, loving one another. We could spend a day or two talking about hardness of heart, but I'm not going to do that. That's evident. We're flesh. But the love of God is perfected in us as we walk and worship and love each other. How do you love your brother? You pray for them, you love them, you visit them when they're sick and afflicted, visit the widows and fatherless in their affliction. If they need food, you help feed them. They need anything, you do your best to help with it. If you cannot and are not able, that's fine. That's fine. If you have not, you cannot. But we do what we can. Hereby know that we dwell in Him. There's that word again. Well, I just have a little hope. Denies the definition of the word. Romans 8 says hope is an earnest expectation. We expect it. Hereby we know of a surety. We just don't believe. We know. Because it's in us. God is in us. Hereby know that we dwell in Him. Because we feel Him, He gives us joy, He gives us life, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which teaches and loves and guides and chastens. I need chastening and chastens. And we have seen and do testify, these are the apostles, they laid hands on Him. They heard Him. They saw Him. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Why do they testify these things? Verse 3, John 1, 1 John 1, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ, and these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Walking in fullness of love, having joy in Christ and joy of the love we have for each other. We know that He came to be the Savior of the world. If Christ died for every man that's ever been born of a woman, then every man that's ever been born of a woman will be in heaven in immortal glory. For the blood of Christ is the greatest thing ever towards us. It cannot fail. That is not the context. We know there are those who are left in their own state of nature. God just left them right where they were at. Didn't do anything to them at all. Left them right where they're at, the nature of Adam. And they will not dwell with God. They'll be in the lake of fire. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. We know it. We believe it. We feel it. We experience it. We walk in it. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God hath manifested it to us. God is love. Well, I don't believe the Lord hates anybody. Well, you better read the Bible. Let's start in Malachi. Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. Let's go back down to Genesis and read about Jacob and Esau. Esau, in my eyes, lived a better life than Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver and supplanter. It's not about our works. It's about the purpose of God and election. God chose Jacob. We can look at Cain and Abel. God had respect unto Abel and then to his offering. And unto Cain, who worked very hard with his hands and his offering, he had not respect. It's called the election of grace. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Do you love the church? Do you love your wife? Do you love your children? Do you love your natural family? God is within you. The natural man has the ability to love nothing but himself. Most of us never see or realize this in people. Come walk a walk. I walked for 25 years and you will see this manifested in people. Go work in a maximum security prison for a couple of years. You will see this manifested in people. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. We walk in the love of God. We walk in the fullness as much as we can of the Spirit of God in this world. And God in him. God is within us. Where did this love come from? It is of God. Mentioned the other ago, this a moment ago, but I can remember a family member years ago when I was a young boy. Passed away. Everybody said he was mean. Everybody said he was hateful. And I can relate to that remark because I seem to find myself that way most of the time. I have a policeman's heart and I hate wickedness and I have to pray every day, Lord, help me and touch my heart. But I remember what was said to her when the teaching was taught at the funeral. And there was great fear cast upon the family that this man would probably inherit the lake of fire. And this young family member of mine was very upset. And my grandmother, Mag Hartsfield, said, let me tell you something. She said, you look at that thief on the cross. At the very point of death itself, he went from hating God to loving God. There wasn't a preacher there. There wasn't a Sunday school. There wasn't a choir. Christ gave him life. That man at the point of death was changed. That man at the point of death showed what? Love in his heart. If we love, God is in us. Herein is our love made perfect. Once again, God's love is perfect. This is our love. To God, the closer we walk to God, the more we love God. Have you grown over the years in your love of God? I can remember childhood, and I look back on some of the things that I remember, and I loved God but I clung to my nature and my rebellion. I can remember growing older, joined the church in 1974. I love God. But I can look at then, and I can look at now. And I feel like now I see myself more as a sinner than I ever have in my life. And I find myself loving God more and more and more every single day for His grace. And that is Christ Jesus. We grow in our love to God. God's love does not grow. Herein, and I pray every day when I remember, Lord, help me to love Thee more. Herein is our love made perfect, that we, God's children, born of the Spirit, may have boldness. And remember, every child of God, John 6, everyone the Father gave to the Son, everyone will be born of the Spirit at some point between conception in the womb and death of the body. Herein is our love made perfect. What's the perfection about? That we may have boldness. Boldness. In the day of judgment. Think about that. Matthew 25:31. And then shall the Son of Man, that's Christ, all man, all God, in the body of man, holes in his hands, holes in his feet, spear through his side, hole in his side, then shall the Son of Man appear in His glory. It's not laid aside. It's in fullness. We've never seen that. We can't bear that in these mortal bodies. But He shall appear. He, the Son of Righteousness, shall appear. How fearful is that thought? And He'll turn to those on His right, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. To those on the left, depart from me in everlasting fire. Revelation 20 says, the books shall be opened. The books of the works of men. I know what I've done. I know what I've thought. It scares me to death. But this text tells me I can stand in boldness, because Christ wrote my name in the book of life, no matter what I've done. And as we walk in that love, that's the context, as we walk in that love with each other and of God, our love is perfected, it grows, it matures, we walk in more closeness and unity. Saw this on Bonanza years and years and years ago. Old man Cartwright was talking to his boys. They were wanting to go fight people one at a time. He said, take a pencil and snap it. Now take 10 pencils and put them together. They don't snap. That's how we are in this world. That's why we come together. That's why God has an assembly. That we come together and hear the gospel. That we come together and worship. We have strength in God. And that strength is in unity with God and unity with each other. And we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's not saying we're going to stand before God in boldness and say, I've got myself here. I chose. I made a choice. I did these good works. Like the old Pharisee, I fast twice in the week. I give my things to be given to the poor. What did Paul say? We talked about 1 Corinthians 13 2 weeks ago. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love in action, it profiteth me nothing. Love, it's all about love of God and love of each other. Brethren, in the church, our love. I'm so thankful to be able to love you folks. As I promise you, if you knew me, you would not love me. without the Lord. There is no fear in love. What's the context? Fear of what? Certainly there's no fear of what man can do to me. Christ told the apostles in Matthew 24, speaking of AD 70, to not fear kings and those that were in positions of authority. The Holy Spirit would give them a tongue to speak. Many of them died as martyrs. They were burned in the garden where the king would ride through, the emperor, for light. He would hear their screams and rejoice. They were tortured. They were burned to death. They were sawn asunder. That's what that text is talking about. He's talking about judgment. Certainly we walk in this world and we're hated. Why are they burning down buildings? They hate righteousness. Why? They hate God. They hate Christ. Get on TV and talk about Allah all day long. Or Muhammad, their pedophile priest. You can talk about anything evil all day long. Let Tim Tebow get on his knee and mention the Lord Jesus Christ or taking the camera off. Don't talk about His name here. We live in that. There is no fear in love. The love of God carries us. But what this context is speaking about is in the day of judgment. Because we'll have no fear of condemnation. Oh, it will be a solemn time. You believe that. But there's no fear in love. We love each other. We love God. God loves us. And we'll stand boldly as He takes us up, as He sets us on His right side. Notice who does it? In His love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Have you ever noticed in your life, I have in times past, when I was living in ways I probably should not, young men doing things young men do. You hear false doctrines, which is what John is talking about. Causes fear in your heart. You, well, maybe I shall hope the Lord don't punish me. Maybe I'll suffer this way or that way or be cast in the lake of fire. Lord, help me. You pray for that. You think about that when you've walked outside the love of God or tried to get away from it, which you cannot do. But our love is made perfect. There's no fear in love. The more we love God, the more we love each other, we have no fear. We have no fear. I've chased people down the road at 120, 30 miles an hour, getting shot at. And one night I got mine particulars running 138 when I passed the Civic Center. Little boy hanging out the window with a 12-gauge shooting at me. And if I caught him, it wouldn't have been love he got, I promise you. But by the grace of God, I wasn't the first one to get there. God's love does not leave us, and there is no fear in love. We have no fear when we walk with God. We look forward to the last day. We look forward to the end of time. We look forward to the resurrection of the body. We look forward to the judgment, because when God sees us, Christ, remember, has covered our sins in His blood. He is our propitiation. Fear hath torment, because he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. I'm not getting back into that. He loved us when we were unlovable. If a man say, now he's going to make a point and he's going to make a fact, two things. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's talking about in Christ, he is a liar. That makes a point that anyone who says he's a child of God and hates his brother is lying. Talked to Steve last night about an hour. We talked on the phone. This came up, not from this, but the point came up, and you don't see it much among our people. We're so few in number. But you know, there was a time in history when men would join religious orders and churches and organizations to better their political career. And they would say, I love the church. But then you judge the tree by the fruit, and you see in their actions they don't love the church. You know, Bill Clinton used to go to church, tote a Bible, then turn around and vote to kill unborn children. I mean, he's a liar. This says so. He's a liar. Okay? Now, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. It's possible for children of God to hate each other from time to time. Let's look at both sides of this coin. The devil deceives. The devil attacks. The devil causes division. False doctrines, what the whole book is about. What is John going back to confirming all the way through it? Love, love, love. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? That is a fact. We see our brethren in the church. We're prone to sin. The church, well, a church is pure. Let me tell you how pure the church is. It's pure sinners. Because we're all sinners. We sin. Our body harbors hate, power, greed, lust. We have to daily take up our cross and follow the God who loved us in love of Him and love each other. That's how our love is perfected. In loving God and loving one another. Whether there's 10 of us, whether there's 10,000 of us, that we love, love, love. A brotherly love of the brethren. And this commandment we have from Him, that we love each other. Now there's two sides to that coin. God is love. God is within us. Therefore God enables us to love Him and each other. And also, since we do live in bodies of flesh and are so prone to trouble, we're commanded of God to love each other and forgive each other. I don't care what anyone has done. I say this publicly. I do not care what anyone has done. Read 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 10 and 11, verse 10 and 11. That's what Steve and I were talking about last night. I don't care what you've done. If you've got repentance, if you've got love, if God has manifested His being in you, then you're cleansed, you're justified. And as far as I'm concerned, I forgive you. And as far as I'm concerned, you've got a right to home in the church. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. How much better would it be if we could defy the deception of Satan every single day and love each other. We'll start next week with whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Let that sink in all week.